Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour, and I'm back live again tonight. Last week, I had to do the UFO conference here in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and it was always too hard to line up a speaker there because we have to go through a different kind of a switchboard, so I didn't do it last week. But you know, that conference, this is now 22 years that I've been helping with that, and it's the second largest one in the United States. It just seemed impossible to people there that it's really been going on that long. Some of them were saying I needed to write a little history about how it began because a lot of them didn't even really know how it started. But we have a lot of the same speakers every year, too, and some of them have been guests on my show. But to me, it's like old home week because we've been going on so long. We get to meet all our old friends and the people we've known for years. I don't have to speak, so I get to have a little time to visit that way. Okay, well, starting tonight, I'm going to be interviewing guests on my show that we're going to have as speakers for our conference. This is the fourth year now that we have done our conference here in Arkansas, the one that me and my company puts on. And a lot of when I do the conference, a lot of it I like to have as a showcase for the new authors coming on, because a lot of them have never done speaking before audiences, and I think it's good for them to get their feet wet. I've had problems with some of the ones this year because they're scared and they're afraid to do it. But you know, that's one thing. It's one thing to get your book published, but I tell them that's only the first step. Then you have to get out there and promote it. You've got to do talks. You've got to do lectures. It's not as easy as you think. Once you get a book published, it doesn't sell itself. So we're going to be pushing them to either speak at this one or definitely by the next one. So starting tonight, we're going to be having some of these speakers. Now the conference, it's called the Transformation Conference, and it's held here in Arkansas. It was at Fayetteville the last 3 years at the Clarion, but now we have moved to a larger venue. It is still the Clarion, but it's out by the airport by Bentonville. This is the airport that Walmart built, because that's the headquarters of Walmart. So we've moved there to where now we have a shuttle going back and forth between the airport and the Clarion. This is a much larger Clarion. And the dates are June the 12th through the 14th, 3 days. Anybody who's interested can check on our website to get more information about the venue and about all the speakers. And the website is www.OzarkMountain, which is the name of the company, but it's abbreviated, OzarkMt.com. Or if you're overseas, it's OzarkMt.com. And we're going to have some really fantastic speakers. And as we go along the next few weeks, I'll be telling you more and more about the conference. But one of them tonight is Ron Chapman. And we published his book, and he was a speaker, I think it was last year, wasn't it, Ron?
Yes, it was, Dolores.
Uh-huh. So we have had him before, but he's also been on the show before. But Ron is a speaker. He's really used to this. I don't have any problems with him. He is used to doing this, and he speaks all over the country. Do you speak outside the country?
Just a little bit, yes.
But mostly it's in the United States, aren't
you? Right, yeah.
And Ron is a motivational speaker. And one thing about Ron is that, let me see, I'm going to read something here from your bio in the back of the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about the Toastmasters International.
Yeah.
They awarded you the International Accredited Speaker designation. And he said there's only 58 people in the world that have that honor. But how long have you been doing this speaking?
Well, the speaking, Dolores, actually goes back, I suppose, a couple of decades. More formally, it's been about, the past 6, 7, 8 years that I've really been heavily involved in it as my as my business interest grew and as I had opportunity to build a clientele and an audience. So by most standards, that's a long time, but you know, I guess it's really not that long, is it?
Oh, everything is, time is moving so much faster anyway.
Yes, it is.
But you know, I know it says that you do speak with organizations and people everywhere. But let's tell people about your background before we get into that.
Well, sure. Thanks for asking. Well, and as we'll talk about when we talk a little bit about the book, my primary work is around transformation. I have a practice called Seeing True, also the title of the book. And
yeah, it mentioned the name of the book. The book is Seeing True.
Yeah, and I spend most of my time in a lot of workshop formats. I tend to really emphasize participation a lot because it's a lot more engaging and people can learn as a result. But most of my time is spent on helping groups try and find out where they're stuck or what stands in their way. And that can be as individuals or as groups or corporations, or I do a lot of public sector work as well.
Uh-huh.
And so the basic principle is pretty simple, I suppose. It's not easily done, but the basic principle is if you're stuck somewhere, that means there's something you don't know about. And with a little bit of work, you can usually find out what's in the way, and it can oftentimes be relieved. And so that applies both on the spiritual level as well as a lot of really, really practical levels with you know, business and offices and everything else. So
let me break in here a minute. I forgot to give out the toll-free number in case one wants to call in, and then we'll continue.
Go ahead.
If anyone does want to call in and ask questions tonight, the toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. But you know, Ron, I think that's one of it. People are their own worst enemies, really, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, we don't know that, but that's true.
You know, they hold themselves back and keep themselves from moving forward and becoming successful, don't they?
Well, yeah, it's funny because it's so easy to think and to think that we see an external cause.
Yeah.
And of course, it's much more challenging at times to try and look within ourselves and see what may really be going on. And because we have such a hard time doing that, it makes it very hard to move forward sometimes. And I've had more than a few experiences myself, Dolores. I bet you know this too from your experience, where it's been quite surprising to find some of the ways that I get in my own way.
Uh-huh. Well, that's because we don't really see it.
That would be the problem, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, it's always easier to blame our problems on somebody else rather than seeing we're the cause of the whole thing.
Yeah, you've been around a few more years than me, Dolores, so you may have a perspective on this that I don't have. As best I can tell, the structure of our ego and the structure of our psyche is such that we really seem inclined to look for a cause other than ourselves. And maybe that's got something to do with the evolution of the human species, but one of the hardest things in the world I find, and I do some coaching work too, is just trying to get people to stop looking at some apparent external cause and look back at themselves. That's the first really big step in my experience of just trying to get people moving in the right direction, which is looking somewhere other than the apparent cause.
Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, a lot of times, well, I think they don't like to admit that maybe they are the cause of their own problems. It's easier to put it on something outside themselves.
Yeah, I think Marianne Williamson, the Course in Miracles writer, I think she had something to say along those lines, that we really do find it easier to look outside, of course it's very easy to blame, particularly when there's something that it's easy to find to blame. But
yeah.
Didn't she say? I believe she said something like we are disinclined to look within ourselves because we're afraid we might find there's an amazing amount there, and it scares us. And that has certainly, I've certainly seen enough of that to think there's some truth to that.
Because because, well, you know, that does, it is hard. But, you know, that's all part of the growth and everything. That's what I'm doing in my work, and I'm as a therapist. I run into this all the time. People make themselves miserable, their own worst enemy. They aren't going to admit they're the cause of their problem.
Well, it is kind of, having been in that position of having to admit it more than a few times, Dolores, I have to honestly say, I'll tell you the phrase I use most often with my spiritual mentor. It is a phrase that's recurred over the 20 years I've been working with him. And that phrase is, Sam, how could I have missed that? Because over and over again, these things come up, and you know, finally, when the, you know, I mean, there's that biblical phrase about the scales falling from your eyes, and
oh, yeah, when, the Bible.
When the moment comes where all of a sudden you do see clearly,
yeah.
Sometimes it's very humbling and embarrassing to realize just how much we were missing. I know, since you work.
But I'm doing all the time, you know, because I see clients constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing the hypnosis for 40 years and 30 years, you know, the work that I do. And I see clients, I have to counsel with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend hours just talking with the people. And it's amazing how they really don't see the cause of the whole problem.
Right.
Well, for instance, I had one woman who was almost 80 years old who came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Her life is a total mess. Failed marriages, failed jobs. I mean, nothing has ever gone right with her.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we talked about it, it all went back to something that happened when she was only 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she never let it go.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we talked, she kept saying, oh, I let it go. It doesn't bother me. I said, it does bother you. You haven't talked about anything else the whole time you've been here. Well, I mean, my golly, by the time you're almost 80, all the major characters in the scenario have probably died. You know, why are you still hanging on to it after all that time?
Well, this is all very relevant because I just in the past couple weeks, Dolores, have had working with my spiritual mentor where I've had some difficulties in my life and had to dig pretty deep to see what was in there, you know, within me that was getting in the way. And honest, it's this story exactly where I had to tell him on what night was it? Today's Friday, so it was Wednesday night. I had to say, Sam, I had no idea that I was still holding on to that. And of course, he said, "Well, of course you didn't, because if you'd known that, you would have quit holding on to it." And so,
but see, that's what I run into is what is the point of wasted life of holding on to something that happened so long ago, and there's no point to it. There's still time, you know, like this woman could live another 10 years or more. But look at all the time that's wasted just holding on to something that really doesn't amount to a hill of beans whenever you really, you know, break it down.
Well, I was surprised. I did some, many, many years ago, Dolores, I did some past life regression work. And
I was
very, very surprised when, I mean, because one of the things that came out of that was at the end of each of these. I think I did 6 or 7 or 8. I can't remember exact number, but what came out at the end of each and every one of them was this pervasive sense that in fact it had all been a good life. There were things that, I mean, certainly we're here to learn. So, you know, there were always these things that I was learning, but somehow or another it all came to good, and it kind of changed my life at that point because it made me very optimistic. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's stuff to learn, and I guess I'll cast myself in and learn it.
Yeah.
In fact,
but I tell people in my lectures too that this is the school, and we sign on to come here to learn lessons. And you're not going to go to the next grade. You pass the grade you're in and learn the lessons.
Yeah.
Did you happen to
see the movie Groundhog Day along the way?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember the first time I saw that because, I mean, I went from thinking, oh, this is a pretty silly premise. And then there was some point where he was, like, trying to kill himself and all those things he was doing, Bill Carrier, Bill Murray in the lead role.
Yeah, I was trying to think who the actor was. Yeah, Bill Murray.
He you know, he was doing everything he could to try and escape this day that kept repeating itself over and over and over again. And there came this moment as I was watching that, and I don't know how many years ago this was, but Dolores, there came this moment where I watched what he was doing, and I said, you know, this really is how it is. You're gonna learn the lessons, and you're really not going to be able to get away without learning the lessons. So how long are you going to put it off?
I think I came to the same conclusion when I was watching it. There was more metaphysics in that movie than you really thought.
What's so neat looking back at it now is I realized that was one of those important turning points for me, because I somehow or another it moved from head to heart. You know how that does, how we can think about things for a long time before they really take up a place in our heart. And I remember that was a turning point for me, Dolores. So I said, okay, well, look, if I'm going to learn this lesson, whether I like it or not, and it always seems to get harder and harder and harder, okay, what the heck? I think I'll just decide I'm going to take it on and learn anything and everything that comes my way. And so I now use the poker metaphor of, all in. All my chips are in. I'm willing to play this game, so bring it on. And why not, as you say? I mean, what have we really got to lose? The truth of the matter is, not much, except some pain and suffering.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's what I tell people, too. If you don't learn the lesson that you're here to learn, you keep putting it off, you're going to have to learn it eventually. You'll learn it the next time around or the next time around. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, because you're going to have to pass that class, that grade, before you can go on.
Mm-hmm.
And so what? If it's going to take you longer, we have all eternity, but you're going to learn it one way or the other.
I said,
isn't it better to learn it quicker and get that over with so you can go on to the next one?
I agree with you entirely. I like to use the metaphor of the big stick or the 2x4, you know, that we get taught by getting whacked by things. And
I've run into that a lot in my work.
People get whacked
over the head if they don't listen.
Well, I was working with this woman some years back. She's become actually a very good friend over the years. I was doing some sort of mixture of coaching and therapeutic work, and I told her that. I said, you know, I mean, this is the way the universe works. Is, you know, if you don't learn it with a 2x4, you're gonna get it with, you know, 4x12.
There'll be little subtle hints along the way, trying to get it through to you, and we don't pay attention to them.
Well, no, we think
they get a little worse, a little worse, so they are going to get your attention one way or the other.
Well, she called me one day, and she was sort of laughing and crying at the same time, and I said, what's wrong? And she kind of, was sobbing, and she goes, oh, Ron, you were right. And I said, well, what was I right about? And she said, well, I was like avoiding, you know, and I didn't want to deal with it, and I was over by the fireplace, and I lifted my head up, and I almost knocked myself out when I hit the mantelpiece, and Ron, it's 6x12 inches wide. she had a big blood clot on her head and just the whole deal. But it convinced her that particular day that life is
going to get your attention one way or the other.
Yeah, and so we might as well stop resisting.
Yeah, because that's when I tell people, you don't want it to take eternity, because they don't care how long it takes. You're not moving on till you get past this grade, from kindergarten to college.
And somehow or another, there's something about our ego that apparently thinks we can avoid these lessons of life, and that has not been my experience. In fact, to be really honest, Dolores, and for the sake of anybody who's listening, what I have found is a very old gentleman. He passed away a few years ago at, I guess, almost 90, and he what he said was, he said that the best solution is to learn to cuddle up to all your fears and all your resistances, make friends with them, and see what they have to teach you. And it's been marvelous advice, the whole idea to stop resisting whatever I'm struggling with, my fears, my whatever they are. Just embrace them, welcome them, and let them teach you.
Yeah, learn from them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what I had somebody on the show a few weeks ago talking about fear, and I told them that eventually this is what life is about. You're going to have to face your greatest fear and overcome it.
Right.
That's part of the lessons. And if you keep running away from it, whatever it is they're terrified of, it will eventually, you're going to have to face it.
Yeah.
And when you do, you'll find out it's really not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
Well, it's funny you should say that. One of the things I remember telling a guy I was doing some you know spiritual work with that what you'll find is it's the resistance that hurts.
Yeah.
The more we resist, what is the line? What we resist persists.
Yeah.
And the more we resist, the more uncomfortable it's going to get. So.
Well, that's why when I'm doing my counseling sometimes, and it's like, okay, let's look at it. What is the absolute worst that will happen? And when they really look at it, you know, they can't really think of anything that's going to be that bad.
Right. Well, I have had those moments where I even, you know, when I've been up against some of the really, really difficult stuff that sometimes life requires of us, I've even reached these points about twice, Dolores, where I looked at it and I said, so what? It's going to kill me. Whatever.
That's about the worst that can happen.
It's like, you know, all right, fine. I'm tired of this stuff. So even on some level, we may be able to reach a point where we can even embrace the possibility that some of this could be pretty, it could be pretty challenging, but why not?
But, you know, that's what I found. We come into this life, we make our plan, and we set up these circumstances mm-hmm. to learn from.
And then,
you either learn it or you're going to get it another way. It'll come around a different way, but it'll be the same lesson disguised in a different way.
It'll be uglier the next time.
Yeah, each time it gets a little worse if you're not going to face up to it.
Yeah.
But we have set these lessons up before we came in to learn mm-hmm. something from.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell people when I'm lecturing, too, is, we all have had terrible things happen in our life. We've all had bad things happen in our life. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
But did you learn anything from that?
Well, that
if you learned something, that was the reason for it. But I've had people say, no, I didn't learn anything from it. I don't see the purpose of it at all. Then if they didn't learn anything from it, they're going to have to do through it all over again.
So is there a
little differently, but they're going to have to face it until they do figure out some lesson from it. Then you move on. The next lesson may or may not be easier. It depends
mm-hmm.
on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's life.
Well, that makes me curious too, Dolores. With all the work you've done, have you found that there are there particular lessons that seems like more people are there lessons that more and more people seem to have to learn? Is there a pattern in it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's the things that they run away from and won't face are the ones that get worse and worse.
Yeah.
So finally they say, oh, okay, that's what it's trying to teach me. And then things do get better. But I deal a lot with people with marriage problems, problems
uh-huh.
at work, all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of it. They feel free to talk to me about these things. But, you know, I've had people that hate their jobs so much, they want to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And they're serious.
Yeah.
And I said, no job is worth that.
Mm-hmm.
But they feel trapped in it.
Sure.
Either because of the money, they have family, they don't know how they're going to support them if they lose their job, or sometimes there's a disgrace involved if I get fired or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really caught in a situation they think that they can't get out of. But it's always a way out.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, they really do feel the only way out is to kill themselves. And I've found many times with these kind of cases, you know what happens? They'll have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
That is an honorable way to
mm-hmm.
get out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
nobody's going to blame them. I can't work now because I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it on a conscious level.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, that's the...
You know, that is a way to get mm-hmm. out. And I wonder how many times that happens.
Well, I suspect it's a lot more than we imagine, Dolores, I'm glad you made mention of the fact that it's unconscious, because that's been my experience too, is that most of the stuff we just don't know we're doing it.
You know, on a conscious level, we say, "What do you mean? I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have these things
mm-hmm.
happen." But it's not on a conscious level; it's the other level.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize that, I think it's a lot easier to deal with the things in your life.
Well, for me, what it has really provoked is the value of inquiry, of beginning to look and question and trying to keep an open mind. Because if it's true, and this has been my experience as well, if it's true that much of what is governing our lives is happening unconscious within us, then I've found inquiry to be a particularly effective technique. It's like, okay, well, if I keep getting, you know, this out here, whatever the this is, there must be an inner cause, and it might be useful for me to start looking at that and asking some questions about it to see what I can find out.
Yeah. No, I've had people, they'll say, their life is a horrible mess. They said, everything that possibly go wrong has happened to me. They said, I'm just I'm the person that God dumps all of his crap on. Now, that's an awful attitude, but they say everything is wrong in their life.
Yeah.
And of course, they're not going to admit it's them.
Yeah.
But if the more they think that way, of course, they're going to keep having these bad experiences.
Well, they do. There isn't any doubt in my mind that our thoughts have a tremendous effect on our reality.
Oh, yes.
I've just seen over and over. Yeah, interesting enough, I was just talking with somebody about this morning who was asking me, they had recently found themselves very frightened, and they were asking the question about whether or not there was, in fact, something to fear. And we ended up having this really great conversation where we said that's the value of what some people call gratitude lists. Gratitude lists, where you go through and you start writing all the things you have to be thankful for and all the things that are in fact going well, because what it does is it changes your frame of reference. All of a sudden you start looking out and you start going, oh, there's lots of good stuff going on here, and that's an entirely different way of viewing the world than sometimes we are viewing it when we're caught in our fears and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I tell people, you draw to you what you fear, mm-hmm. because everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about these bad things, you're going to give them more and more energy, and actually that's what you're going to draw into your life.
Mm-hmm.
If it gives it more life, it becomes more real as you focus on it.
Well, and it's I think typically it's hard for us to imagine that we're actually carrying that with us, but every now and then you'll have one of those experiences. I know I've had this myself, and I've seen it in others where you realize that there's these remarkable patterns, and at some point in time you just have to step back, Dolores, and you got to say to yourself, So could it really be utter coincidence that this thing keeps happening to me over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you, at some point in time, you have to start deciding that there's something else at work here than just pure chance.
And see, that's when you're going to finally get the lesson, and then you can move on.
Right, right. And then you can have the next lesson to tackle.
Yeah, that's why I said it may or may not be easier. It might even be worse. It depends on what it is you're supposed
yeah.
to learn.
Yeah, but I was chatting with someone I coach who it was earlier this week who said, well, you know, and I can be done with this now, and I can like coast for a little while. I said, I don't know. I'd start watching if I were you, because I suspect something new's coming down at you right at this very moment. And
I just hope it's going to be easier. That's the thing.
Well,
and, you know, I like I said earlier, that we come into this life with our plan of what
right.
we're going to accomplish.
Right.
But then we come in, we forget, because that's also part of the whole thing. You're not supposed to remember
mm-hmm.
what you come in here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked one time, I said, well, wouldn't it be easier if we knew what we came in to do, if we knew our connections with other people and what our plan was?
Yeah.
And they said, it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers. So we have to stumble through it and make
yeah.
mistakes and
yeah.
finally realize, hey, that's all this is. It's just a game.
Yeah.
It's just a play.
Yeah.
And why do we take it so seriously?
Well, there's a great line in one of my favorite books, which a book by Richard Bach, The Illusions of a Reluctant Messiah, where at
yeah.
one point one of the protagonists says to the other one, when are you going to learn? There are only two things. We either learn or we're entertained. That's it. There's nothing else.
we learn or we're entertained. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, well, it's the basic idea is that that we're either doing things because they're fun or interesting or dramatic or whatever. They're interesting to us, or we're doing them because there's something there to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to point out that even the stuff that's horrible has certainly an entertaining aspect to it. I mean, we love drama. We love.
Oh yeah.
We love scary. Some of us love scary movies and all that. So it's been useful for me to realize that means that it's all good. It just may not look or feel good.
Well, see, that's why in some cases it's better to be the observer and stand back and look at what's happening in your life from a different
mm-hmm.
perspective. And then you can see, okay, this is a play, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
To be the observer for a little bit, the objective part of us.
And that's, I do have to admit and acknowledge, that is hard when you're in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, when you're in the middle of it, it's always hard. It's always after the fact.
Yeah, and
you can look back years later and say, "Oh, that's why that happened."
Well, isn't that the truth? Where so often it's looking backward where we go, "Oh, that makes perfectly good sense."
Yeah, it's always called 20/20 hindsight.
and it's very reliable, I've found. But there's something there is just something about the fact that whatever we're in the process of facing, we may not be able to easily see, which is all the more reason in my mind to get curious and see what we can find, because things aren't just happening randomly.
No, there's more of a pattern there than people can
yeah.
ever realize.
Yeah.
Even though they think they're just being tossed about like a, what do they say? The waves toss you around and
uh-huh.
you don't have any control over it. And
uh-huh.
you're at the whim of everybody else. And if you realize, you do have more control. You know, I lecture to people on how you create your reality and how
mm-hmm.
you can make things happen in your life, because you have so much more power than you realize. But this is probably what you lecture about too, isn't it?
I spend a lot of time, and in fact, the basic framework I spend most of my time talking about is that if you ever get a good look at what's blocking you, and it is removed, as it usually will be when you get a good look at it, you'll be surprised at what it turns loose. We spend so much time looking for solutions when, in fact, what we really need to do oftentimes is just get a good look at the problem. In fact, my spiritual mentor, he says basically until you understand the problem, you can't find a solution.
Yeah.
And over again, I've seen that to be true. People who, one of my favorite ones is people who've come to me for help with procrastination. And,
yeah.
And procrastination is never the problem. They may be frightened. They may be overly insistent on how things are supposed to be. They may have a sense of entitlement, but
it
can manifest as
so a lot of times procrastination is just from fear.
Right.
What will happen if I do move that direction? So they
exactly.
drag their feet.
You yeah, know? And so it makes perfectly good sense. So yeah, rather than
safer
looking
if I don't do anything.
Yeah, and rather than looking for a solution to procrastination, it'd be better in that case to look. To take a good hard look at the fear that is causing the procrastination.
Well, a lot of people are afraid of failing.
Sure.
So
and,
it's easier just not to do anything.
And some are fearful of success. That's that Marianne Williamson idea again.
Oh, yeah. That was in the fear book. They said it was the fear pair, the fear of failure and the fear
mm-hmm.
of success.
Right.
Either one. And you people wouldn't think they'd be afraid of success, but their life will change.
Well, I actually have an experience of that with a guy I mentored some years back now who had a real deep belief in his own failings. He was pretty attached to the idea that he was a failure, and he finally through a lot of really good work we got him into a vocational technical school where he actually got straight A's.
Mm.
And but the craziest thing was it was so hard for him, because every single day He was going to school, working his tail end off, and every single day he still had all those beliefs about his inadequacy. And The most amazing part was, I mean, he got through, he graduated, that was good, but my goodness, how much difficulty there was because he was still carrying around the idea that he was inadequate. And so,
yeah, but a lot of that is ingrained in people as children, too.
Sure, yeah. Well, in his case, it was child abuse that did it. So,
yeah, I have a lot of that, too. And so they think they will never amount to anything.
Right, and
people tell you enough that you're stupid and, you know, you will never amount to anything, but they're going to believe it, and
yeah,
it's very hard to overcome things like that.
Yeah, because if you're told often enough those things, it takes root within us, and that was exactly this guy's problem. He'd been told all these things that were wrong with him for so long that he really, really believed them. And
That's it. We do believe it. That's where I have my work cut out with a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you do the same thing. You have to try to show them it's not true.
Well, and in fact, what I use is probably more often than not is, and of course it takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of time. Some of these things can't be unlearned very easily, but what I mostly have to do, Dolores, is I have to spend a lot of time essentially holding their hand and walking through it with them.
Yeah.
Because they just can't, you know, they oftentimes people with some of the real challenges on the inside, quite often they can't do it by themselves and they need someone to help.
Yeah. That's why in my work I spend hours talking to somebody. It's not a quick session.
Yeah, I
have to get to know them and find out, you know, what is really going on in their lives.
Yeah, and you know, eventually some momentum gathers and things get better, and I've been working with one guy for about 10 years, and that's a long time. He's made remarkable progress. I mean, his starting point was pretty awful. But I've had to kind of hold his hand over all this time and just keep steadily working away at it. And it is a very long time, but for me it's deeply gratifying.
Yeah.
To see the kind of progress some folks can make, and I guess to be really, really honest, Dolores, I really admire him because 10 years of hard work, that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, but see, I have some clients that, you know, I go back to their childhood. I want to know everything about the person.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everything is confidential.
Sure.
Go back to when they were children. I want to know how they were raised. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what makes them into the person they are.
Right.
And I have heard horror stories you wouldn't believe,
the
way people have been, were raised and the way they were treated. I mean, absolutely horrible conditions. And it's a wonder that they ever turn into a functioning adult. I think it's a credit to them that they do overcome it and do become a functioning adult.
Yeah, it is remarkable that, like I say, this one fellow I've been working with, it's just beautiful to see that even the really, really, really hard lessons can be learned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does take some courage, and it certainly takes persistence. But boy, it's remarkable when it happens. And I mean, honestly, some of mine has been that way. I mean, some of my stuff has not been easy, but I sure am glad I've gone through it because the
value. Well, we've all had things. I've had things, too. I think that's, like I said, that's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is gratifying whenever I have a session with somebody and they finally, the little light goes on.
Yeah.
And they hadn't even thought of these things as answers.
Yeah. It was actually very funny. I was again one client I was working with flashed back to childhood.
Yeah.
And had some real clarity about how she'd been treated by her mom and how it had affected her, and mm-hmm. and it was life changing for her to get a good look at it. And in that case, it wasn't even a highly therapeutic setting. We were actually in kind of a inquiry dialogue when it came to her. And so, boy, I don't know. The funniest thing about all this inner obstruction stuff, Dolores, and I'm sure this is your experience too. The funniest thing about it is, boy, some people can just move through the most amazing things, and some people can be so struggling for so long on something.
Yeah, they stay stuck, as I say.
Yeah.
This makes a lot of people sick too.
Yeah, and I guess what that has taught me is a tremendous amount of compassion for people. I really do understand we're all just really doing the very best we know how, even if it looks like we're not.
Yeah. But that's it. We're all on this journey together, and
yeah.
we're going through the same school, and some of us go to the next grade quicker than the others. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Anyway, I have an affirmation on the wall in my office,
mm-hmm.
and it says, "Believe, achieve. Doubt, you're out." And that's what I try to tell
mm-hmm.
people. It's all in your belief system, really.
Well, and that's one of those really. That's funny. I just got an email today from someone who was asking. I have a newsletter I send out, and someone was asking, as I was talking specifically about that. I mean, you know, that we've got our beliefs, and what we're going to need is a new belief. Because the old one's not working very well.
Yeah, you know, you have to replace something with something else.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
And it was really neat because the woman who sent me the email was asking the right questions. She was saying, so what do I need to do to get rid of an old belief? And of course the answer is you're probably going to have to do some healing work around it, and you may, in her case, you may need some professional assistance. And you're probably going to have to dig in and see what's there, because that's kind of how the deal is designed.
It's been buried a long time. It's not going to be fun, but eventually
yeah.
you will dig it and get it out, you know.
Well, one of the things that's really amazing to me is how much we all believe, and I'm not sure, Dolores, I find it very, very funny. We're all told by our parents, quite a lot actually, about how nothing good ever came easy. I mean, most all of us.
They always told us it's easy, it's not worth doing.
Absolutely. And then what happens is we start running into some of these life challenges like we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we start thinking that it shouldn't be so hard. And so it's very, very funny that we're told over and over again that it's gonna take effort to get good things. But
yeah.
then when the effort shows up, we kinda like it's like, well, isn't this supposed to be easy? Well, not my experience. Although, you know, let's be
yeah,
honest.
But look at how many of these stars, you know, movie stars,
mm-hmm.
rock stars, all these famous people, when things came too easy for them, they couldn't handle it. And a lot of them ended
right.
up drugs and, you know, committing suicide. It came too easy. So you
Absolutely.
Can have it both ways.
Yeah, but I'm very aware that marketing plays a part in this, because you get the, I'll just cite one of them because it's so obvious. I mean, a book with a title, you know, The 1 Minute Millionaire, it sets an expectation.
Yeah.
And the expectation is that I should be able to achieve whatever it is I want in, you know, 1 minute.
Quite that fast, I hope.
And well, my experience has been that it usually takes a fair amount of movement before you get to the 1 minute.
Okay.
it might take a decade to get the moment where everything changes. But that's
what's
again,
that saying? They said, I don't remember what some movie star or some famous star said. Oh yeah, they said I was an overnight success.
Yeah.
It took 20 years to get there.
Yeah. That's that classic barroom joke about the overnight, you know, the comic who somebody comes up, the comedian, somebody comes up and says, "Wow, you just like, you know, overnight." And he goes, "Oh man, I've been working in dirty bars and places nationwide for 20 years. This is no
yeah.
overnight success."
Yeah, see, we have to pay our dues.
Although it is funny to me that we continue to not be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
That we look at someone else's experience and we immediately jump to the assumption that they did something right and it happened overnight and we've done something wrong because we're having to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And we regularly misinterpret what's going on out there, in my experience.
Yes, that people are always saying, oh, you're out here traveling, you're going all over the world, you're lecturing, you have all these books published, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, yeah, but do you know how much hard work went into all of that? They don't see that. You have to pay your dues. You have to start out slow to get to that point. You know, they don't see it. They just see the finished product without seeing all the preparation that goes into anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's just something about us. I guess we're, I don't know, maybe we just don't see very well, Dolores. maybe we don't understand that it's going to be challenging and that's the nature of the universe.
Yeah, that's life. But you know, I'm watching the clock.
Yeah.
An hour disappears fast when
it
I
does,
get on
doesn't
here.
It?
I got to stop at about 5 till.
Okay.
But when you're doing your work,
yes,
you
ma'am.
Work a lot with organizations, don't you?
I do. I have a number of government organizations I work with, and a fair number of private sector organizations, corporations, and so forth.
Well, what are you doing with these organizations with your work?
Well, now they would be surprised to know that we're doing spiritual work because I don't talk about it that way.
Yeah.
Something I was taught a long time ago is that one of the big mistakes we make if we're gonna be doing good work in the universe, one of the big mistakes we can make is insisting that they talk our talk and think it our way.
Yeah.
And so for example, one of the practices I use in a lot of organizational settings is called, its proper name is root cause analysis.
Okay.
Now, what that means is we're going to look for the underlying cause. Well, that's no different than you and I trying to find out what a belief is that's getting in our way.
Well, see, in my therapy, that's what I do. I have to find the cause of the problem.
Right. So what I do is
you're going to solve it, you know.
Yep, I spend the work I do in organizations, which includes, I mean, I do a lot of team building and a lot of conflict management and some planning work and leadership development and staff development, and invariably what we're looking for is an understanding of what stands in our way. There's seen true again.
Yeah.
Because if you can ever get a look at what's standing in your way, you can probably solve it. And if you never get a look at it, you probably won't solve it unless it's pure blind luck, and that just doesn't happen very often. So with these organizations, I spend a lot of time in group processes. Sometimes it gets, some of them probably feel like it gets a little therapeutic every now and then, and it
yeah.
needs to. But
so they're thinking if you can get, well, you know, a lot of these organizations have hundreds of employees, don't they?
Yes, ma'am, they sure do. They
think if you can... get them organized or thinking a different way as a group? Or
what? Well, yeah, what I've found, and it's usually hard to do with a large number. What I typically find is that I spend a lot of time working with relatively smaller groups. So let's say typically from 12 to 50 or 60.
Yeah,
and because it's very, very hard to, like, one of my larger clients is 16,000 employees, and it would be very, very difficult to put 16,000 employees in a room.
I think so.
And try and work with them. So what I do is I work at the levels that are offered to me, and often it's as small as a dozen, you know, a team size.
You break them up into groups that you can communicate with.
Yeah, and then we tackle whatever there is to be tackled. And I'm very aware, as I'm sure you are, as a counselor, I'm very aware that very, very rarely do clients come to you stating the real problem.
No, they don't even know it.
Yeah. So you work with what you're presented. If they come in and, you know, if a client comes in and says, you know, I got a procrastination problem, that's where you start. If in the case of one of these larger organizations, they come in and tell me they need to do strategic planning, that's where we start. And I work with them to use that, and then try and use that as a chance to get a little deeper into what the real problems may be. And you know, when we can get a good look at the problems, Dolores, it's interesting to me. People know how to solve things if we can just get a good look at them.
Well, like you said, when they're in the middle of it, they can't see it. So you're an outside force coming in,
right?
Being at it from a different direction.
And one thing you can say is absolutely true. We all need help seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most advanced students. Those who've become teachers and so forth, they know the value of having someone else to help them have a good look at things because it's oftentimes very hard to see what's going on with ourselves.
Yeah.
In fact, it may be impossible a lot of the time. So we need someone who can say, well, look at that, or did you think about that, or how does that feel, or
There's always a lot of people who don't, they always think, nothing's wrong with me, you're the one that has the problem.
I guess part of our task as people who work with people is to try and help them see that differently, isn't it?
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
We've only got a few more minutes
okay.
here. The name of the book is Seeing True, and each page has, like, what would you call this? It's not an affirmation.
They're contemplations.
They're stories.
They're very short. Some people have called them vignettes or stories or contemplations,
yeah.
And each of these in Seeing True is designed to provoke thinking, to provoke thought deeper than the kind of thought most of us are accustomed to.
Yeah.
And to point you towards asking questions, because this is a workbook format, to point you towards asking questions that may give you a chance to see it differently. Because
mm-hmm.
I know...
For sure, they're just on one page.
Right.
But they do make you think.
Well, and what I've found is that over and over again, if I can get people asking questions about something, Dolores, it can change.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're absolutely dead certain what it is we're up against, and unable to even question it, it's just very, very hard to ever see the truth and ever make any progress.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, Ron, if people want to contact you,
sure.
You have a website or what? How can they get in touch with you?
I do. My website is www.magneticnorthllc.com. Which is the name of my company, Magnetic North, of course.
Magnetic North is the name of your company.
Magnetic North LLC, Limited Liability Corporation, is the name of
and
my company.
And that's all in one word.
Yes, ma'am. Sure enough.
Magnetic North LLC .com.
.com, yeah.
That's the website.
Yeah.
And that's how they can contact you if they want to talk to you or set you up for anything.
Yeah, everything is there. They need phone numbers, information on books and CD sets and whatever else people might think they might find useful.
Okay. All right. And I want to remind everyone that Ron Chapman is going to be one of the speakers at our conference here in Arkansas, June the 12th to the 14th. And I always want to say Fayetteville because that's where we're going. They're not really sure with the airport is in Fayetteville or Bentonville. It's right up there anyway. We're
mm-hmm.
in the northwest corner of Arkansas. And the conference is going to be at the Clarion out by the airport in Bentonville. And we're going to have a lot of speakers. And we have a tremendous keynote speaker that is coming.
Mm.
And I'm going to be interviewing her in a few weeks. We're having Helen Reddy.
Wow.
The famous singer. And we met her in November when we were in Australia. We took her to dinner in Sydney.
Huh.
And she said, I want to come and speak at your conference. So we said, well, you're welcome to do it. People say, well, what in the world is a former singer going to talk about?
She's
been in metaphysics all her life.
I'll be darned, I didn't know that.
So she's very much into all of these things, and she's also a hypnotherapist now.
When will she be, do you know what her time slot's going to be speaking, Dolores?
Her talk is going to be on Saturday.
Ah, good.
I don't have it in front of me, your schedule, but the conference is going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 3 days. And anybody can come on my website. They'll find more information about signing up for it. And we're going to have a tremendous amount of speakers, and they're really good things are going to happen. And it's a bigger venue, and we're expecting a bigger crowd this time. So she is going to be on Saturday. But we have a lot of other ones, and there are some surprise ones in here also.
Great.
Anyway, Ron Chapman will be one of our speakers. If you go on our website, www.OzarkMountain.com, and check it out. You'll find out more about it, the prices, and how you can register. And it's not too early to start. It's going to be here before we know it. Okay, Ron, but I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it, and look forward to seeing you in a few weeks out in Arkansas.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Right, so good night, everyone. Thanks
good night.
For listening.